We're joined by Huhana Linden. There's a lot to talk about here. We had scheduled a kōrero with our tuhine about healthy homes and healthy tau and healthy whānau, which is good. We'll get to that. But I was quite intrigued by a Green Party suggestion that as people start in the workforce, you immediately are enrolled in a union associated with that mahi. Now, you can opt out of that union should you like. But, of course, the history of industrial relations has been lost to many here generations of New Zealand workers. So I just want to track into that for a little bit as a Green Party policy. Thank you for joining us, Tuhine. Tēnā koe, Huhana.
Tēnā tātou katoa.
Kia ora, Huhana. We'll talk about the healthy homes, etc., up north and some of your observations there. But the industrial relations, the potential for better results from communities when we are organised, unions are an example, and the role that they play in collectivism and advancing and advocating for the collective is something that is familiar to Māori interests. Tell us about your thinking here, your input to this position that the Greens find themselves advocating, and what are you making of the response to the idea?
Yeah, it's been a long-held view that with unions come the ability to A, organise, B, advocate for our collective rights, and C, enable an opportunity to find a middle ground with an employer for an employee group, whether it's health and safety, whether it's wages and conditions. And so this bill or position looks to really solidify that as the pathway to strengthen our unions again to be that collective voice for employees depending on the industry. So it's just bringing those things to the fore and reminding us that, you know, when the individual employment agreements came into force in the 1990s, that it saw the stripping away of unions, and in fact, some of our employment conditions didn't go very well. It minimised and it divided us, and we missed the opportunity for that collective bargaining. And the unions have been really strong with us around the way that actually, you know, with this missing gap, bringing back compulsory unionism and the opt-out ability for kaimahi as well, provides an opportunity to go back to those solid, you know, worker-focused values, but also to even the playing field for all.
Well, it's an idea that perhaps hit the right-wing politicians from left field, if I could use that term, and some aren't warming to the idea. Of course, Labour have yet to make some solid positioning commentary about whether they support this idea and would be prepared to take it forward as some sort of coalition agreement, should the cards fall that way come November 7. But you keep boxing on. Of course, Huhana is based in Taitukurau. It's going to be a real race to represent in that proud electorate. But today we're talking about healthy homes and healthy tau, healthy whānau, the correlation between. We've had conversations already about climate resilience with our marae, but what do you believe are the biggest barriers preventing whānau from accessing warm, safe and affordable homes? What do you want to see? Let's just use the North as an example, please, Huhana.
Yeah, so if we reflect on the North as an example, we have seen a stripping back of public housing and kāinga ora homes. Some 430 homes have been stopped in their rebuild refurbishment. So that's taken out of the market. Further, you know, when we look at how hard it is to find a home and then how expensive it is to be a renter, the Green Party, through our housing lead, Tamitha Paul, has a kaupapa called Homes for Everybody. And in our Homes for Everybody proposal and our policy is that we need to have good safeguards for renters' rights so that we've got good regulation around the rights of renters, because many of us are renters. We want to see the pathway towards first home ownership, but also the public housing sector needs to be fueled to be able to bring forth. You know, last year in our green budget, we talked about 30,000 more public homes. So the public homes aren't kāinga ora homes. They're also homes delivered by iwi and community groups into local communities so that we can have more housing options for our whānau. So they need to be safe, dry, warm homes. And we need to make that commitment to ending homelessness So we've got a simple formula in the way that we believe we need more public housing, we need to have safeguards for renters' rights, we want to see the pathway for first home ownership, and we need to end homelessness. And those are simple things that are a human right, but in New Zealand, it's not that way at all.
We've discussed before too that while it's better than sleeping in a car, you know, an insulated cabin is just that, and we can't expect our people to grow in confidence and abilities if they're just sitting watching TV because there's no work to be done. But in our haukainga and in many Māori communities, there's great need to whakamana the tāiao. And I just wonder whether we as a people are doing as much as we could in coordinating not just housing, but some purposeful and meaningful mahi for people to get involved in. Subsidised housing, subsidised rents, if you're prepared to work on the land, eradicate pests, etc., that most of our communities need some sort of tautoko in that green thinking space. Do you think we've considered this as much as we might as a people to sort of do something ourselves for ourselves, Huhana?
Yes, as the Green Party, we have been talking about this for a long time, and so we haven't just sort of waited for the election year to bring out our policies. Last year in our Green Budget, we spoke about green jobs and the ability for us to create jobs locally that are relevant to our haukainga, to local community needs. And with the loss of things like, you know, our jobs for nature mahi, so many good jobs were created that upheld the centrality of the tāiao, look to protect waterways, plant out areas, work with local community groups or also, you know, pests and trapping and all of that. And we've lost those jobs because the government didn't make a commitment to retain them. So we're in that area instead of growing and building them and making a commitment. And as soon as you stop doing that mahi, the pests return. You know, it's about maintenance. But also it's good for our local economy because it builds whānau, it builds confidence, and it provides workforce development for those who may not have those types of jobs or skills in that area. I just came out of Te Tīm Mangonui here with Whiti Ora Marae. We're farewelling broadcasting legend Hinari Kingi right now, 91 years of age. Yeah. And as we waited for him to return from Wellington, I was talking with haukainga around the need or the desire for more homes, you know, to provide more homes in the kāinga, including options like cabins or pods, you know, little houses, doesn't have to be big, but also in bringing people home, you know, what are the types of jobs that we can create that are sustainable, balance your obligations to the kaitiaki, but also, you know, uplift the well-being of whānau. And that's the challenge that we have in Taitokiro, the lack of investment, but also the pathway to utilise our whenua. Those are challenges that the Green Party are really committed to see a pathway moving forward, working alongside haukainga, the Ntiwi Māori.
Tēnā koe, thank you, Huhana. It's going to be one hell of a race to represent Taitokiro. And of course, we're also dealing with political tribalism, where people vote the way that their parents have. This is intergenerational voting trends. We need to stand our own ground, make our own minds up, I think. But that is an issue for all who vie to represent in the North. And I'll just finish by saying thank you for attending Hinare's Tangi. You know, he's an amazing guy, and his contribution to Māori broadcasting should be noted among the very best who have now gone. Thanks for attending his tangi. Mihi to you and to him. What's your relationship with the old guy?
Well, as a teenager going to Victoria University in Wellington, Matua Hinari did the Wahanga Kaumātua, and I was the weekend breakfast DJ, so every Saturday and Sunday, Matua Hinari would be on air at Te Upoko Tika from 6 to 8, and then Huhana Kōtiro would come in from 8 to 12. And so I had a special relationship with him because he was always up at the crack of dawn. He was always good on krakia and our mihis out to the world on Te Reo Irirangi Māori or Te Upoko Tika. And so I spent a lot of time with him. But also, you know, he was foundational in the establishment of Māori community networks in Kōrau Nui Marae and Stokes Valley as Ngāpuhi ki Pōneke. So I was fortunate to be raised around the likes of Hinare Kingi. We had Auntie Vera Sarah Morgan, Auntie Iris Whanga, we had Tokiri Thompson, a generation of Ngāpuhi who were living in Wellington, who were our pōwhirinaki as young people and as whānau of Ngāpuhi in Pōneke. So he was a humble statesman. We travelled to Huimate, like we travelled up to Monita Delamere's Huimate on the coast. We did a lot as Ngāpuhi ki Pōneke, and I cherish the insights, the leadership, and his humble way of guiding us as uri. And when I went to his 90th last year in Lower Hutt, it was wonderful to see all the whānau, and they're back again here at Te Marae in the bosom of Ngāti Rehia, and it's an honour to be there alongside my whānau to honour this wonderful man.
Tēnā koe, a most beautiful tribute to a most wonderful man, as you say. Moi mai rā e he nare. Thanks so much, Huhana. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next.
Tēnā koe, tēnā tātou katoa.
Kia ora, ngā mihi.